This podcast is produced and managed by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, Australia's independent video and podcast company. We do the podcasting hard bits so you don't have to. We make podcasts easy. Book a call at www.kangaroofern.com. www.kangaroofern.com. This podcast is produced and managed by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, Australia's independent video and podcast company. We do the podcasting hard bits so you don't have to. We make podcasts easy. Book a call at www.kangaroofern.com. www.kangaroofern.com.
A Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate Production.
Hi guys, I'm so excited to have all of you join me today. Today's episode is all about overcoming the fear of death. Let's face it guys, it's not easy to be told that you only have 7 years left to live after being diagnosed with a critical illness. My guest for today, Trish Bishop, an energy integration coach for global corporate leaders, shares her journey as she overcomes her own death sentence and helps others to be in full alignment with their lives and energy in the process. The same thing she did when she defied her own fate and created her own day one from scratch. Before I begin, I would like to thank my podcast management group, Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, and my producer, Jamie, for this wonderful opportunity to share this inspiring conversation to the rest of the world. Excited? Let's start the show.
This podcast is brought to you by Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate, powered by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab. Kangaroo Fern is Australia's independent video and podcast management agency with the mission to help individuals and entrepreneurs to start their own podcast and harness the power of podcasting. Book now via www.kangaroofern.com. A feel-good podcast filled with beautiful thought-provoking reflections.
What is it in your life that you want to become? Who do you want to be?
And inspiring soulful stories to help you become your authentic, unapologetic, grandest version of yourself. Your own hashtag best me ever.
You begin to ask yourself why. You find yourself lonely, depressed, feeling unworthy, unloved, doubting yourself, and asking this question. Why me? Why did it have to happen to me?
Hosted by Global Master Coach and International Best-Selling Author, Mike Sellis.
Hi Trish, how have you been?
I'm awesome, how are you?
I'm doing great, and what's keeping you busy this past few days?
Oh, it has been actually crazy this week. You know what, we have an awesome conference coming up, the MAPS Global Conference for Mental Awareness and Mental Wellness. And so I'm kind of just in the midst of a lot of that. There's people from all over the world that are kind of getting involved in that right now. Actually, you know what? It's probably going to be over before this show is out there though. However, you'll be able to go onto YouTube and see it after the fact 100%. And there's going to be amazing stuff on there. So that's the crazy stuff that's been going on for me this week. Absolutely.
I feel your energy right now. And you know what? I can definitely say this. Now is the best time to feel really alive, right?
Yeah, so, 100%.
I know. So anyway, what caught my eye when I was searching for a guest for this episode was that you told me that you were, you know, diagnosed before and was given 7 years to live. It's not easy. I mean, death has always been a taboo topic for all of us, and it's kind of, you know, on the scary side. So how did you handle that?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because when I was diagnosed with a condition called scleroderma. I think the fact that I had no idea what it was, because I'd never heard of it before, I actually probably wasn't as scared as I probably should have been. That being said, they did tell me I only had 7 years to live. But you know what? There was something just deep, deep, deep inside of me, because they were going to put me on all kinds of aggressive rounds of methotrexate and all these other drugs. And something inside of me said, no, no, do not do that. And so I refused all medications. And this is back in 98. So we did not have, like, you know, I worked in the internet service space. So, you know, I had access to the internet, but you didn't have access to information the way that we do now. And natural health was not a thing like it is now. So, you know, when I was told I had 7 years to live, I had just given birth to my daughter. I already had a son at that point in time. It was definitely scary. And when I decided not to take any medications, I knew I had to take personal responsibility for what my life was going to look like, and to be there for my kids and for my husband. So as much kind of devastating as it was empowering, you know, because you just kind of decide and commit and off you go.
Was it something that was genetic, or?
I think that there's a couple of things. I think that for sure there's a function of, you know, I was very much a type A personality, killing it, long days, adrenaline junkie, you know, love adrenaline. And I also think that while we can set our bodies up physically for dis-ease, I think that where you are mentally, or sorry, spiritually and emotionally, is an indicator of what disease you might manifest, right? So, you know, we know there's about 75% of the North American population. I know you're not in North America, but some of your listeners will be for sure, that suffer from some form of disease, and yet only 2-5% of them are genetic. So why are we showing up with the diseases we have? This one is a very restrictive disease. It creates scar tissue inside of the body until the organs kind of cease to function. And for me, I had a very closed heart at that time. So I know now, having gone through that journey, that was a big contributor to manifesting that particular condition and how I was able to actually move through it and still be here many years later.
On a personal note, though, I feel that becomes even more scarier, because, you know, if it was genetic, it was something that you would have expected as you age. But then if it came like suddenly, how did you take that message when you were told that you only had 7 years to live for the first time?
You know, there's a couple of, I don't know if it's my personality type or what, but to be honest with you, it's hard to explain, but it's not like I sat there and said, oh my gosh. You know, it's like I sat there and said, that's not happening to me. Like, I've never ever used the words that I have that condition. I always use the words I was diagnosed with, right? Because I've actually never taken ownership of that disease, ever. And when they told me I had 7 years to live, in my mind, that was just not a truth. And so I always operated as if it simply wasn't true. I don't know that I thought about it consciously necessarily. It was just more a function of, that's just not going to be my reality. I'm going to be here for my kids. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make that happen.
Oh my God, you are so brave. However, in some situations though, at times when, you know, the actual person involved is brave, people around that person aren't exactly feeling the same. How did your family take it, and your friends?
My husband's always been super supportive. He was always very supportive, because of course he wasn't doing what I was doing, right? Now all of a sudden I'm eating completely different foods than everyone else in the house. You know, I'm taking care of myself in a way that's different than everybody else in the house. And while he may not have been on the same path as me at that time, although that's changed, he was always super supportive of that. And again, I think that, you know, for the immediate family, I think it's just a function of I was committed, and he kind of knows my personality and knows that was the path I was going to go down. And that's not to say that there wasn't fear, but I think the biggest piece that I had to overcome was my fear of death, right? Like, I think it was the fear of death that was the piece that I really had to face head on and say, you know, come to some kind of a, how do I want to say this, understanding of, right? Like, understanding that if I died, am I okay with that? Can it, you know, where you can take kind of that worst case scenario, and once you accept that as being okay, that you can move through it. So for friends and things of that nature, again, I think because it's not a well-known condition, you know, if I'd said cancer, it's a completely different reaction than getting, when you say scleroderma, that no one's heard of, right? So they don't really necessarily, it's not like I walked around, I'd be owning it if I was walking around saying, hey, I'm supposed to die in 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, and I wasn't going to own this thing. So I wouldn't say that they really had as much kind of insight into it as I did. And therefore, you know, just treated me as normal, which I think was actually a good contributing factor. In fact, I wouldn't even know how many people would actually know that I was actually diagnosed.
I love the way you're actually handling everything right now, because one of the biggest misconceptions about death by most people is that it's the be all and end all of everything. Meaning, if you are diagnosed and you are only given like a couple of years or months or days to live, then it changes you. However, what people don't see is that when you are given that, you also have another opportunity to start all over again. How did yours look like?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. In fact, my company is called Choose to Live because there, like, and I'm not joking, right? Because there is a function of, it's much easier to accept the diagnosis and become the victim than it is to choose consciously to live, right? And so, and it did look different for me, because it was, it became not about me to some degree, and yet it became all about me on the other side. So when it didn't, when it came not about me was when I said, I want to be here for my children. I want to be here to watch my children grow up. When I say it, and that's where it's not about me. Where it is about me is where I said, I'm not going to be here for my children if I don't put myself first. If I don't make myself and my health and what I need to do my number one priority, and that has to be the way that I have to operate. So that was really the big realization. Now, they were the driver and the trigger, but the reality was is that in order to take care of them, I had to take care of me.
Beautiful. So what was the most difficult part about, you know, living your day one after that diagnosis?
After being diagnosed? I think having the conversation with my husband at that point in time, he's now a holistic nutritionist, right? And he's a huge advocate for natural health. But at the time, he was not. So convincing him, and like I said, he's super supportive, but just helping him to understand the rationale for why I was refusing medications. Because of course, then the doctors say, okay, well, we can't treat you then. And, you know, I was basically kind of abandoned by the medical community, right? So, you know, left flying on my own with this condition that I knew nothing about and really didn't have a lot of access to information to, because it is quite rare. And so day one was, you know, but I'm also not wishy-washy as a general proposition, right? Like, my personality is not wishy-washy. So day one, I decided sitting right there on the hospital bed when the doctor told me, and I said, no, I'm not taking medications. I was all in. And so day one, I'm still all in, right? And it's just like, we're doing this, right? One way or another, we will find the way.
How did you live those first 7 years differently? Because again, for most people, it's all about beating the odds. Like, you tell me I have 7 years to live. I am going to live for 7 years and 1 month. 7 years is too much, 8 years. So how did you live those 7 years differently?
I didn't think about it as the 7 years, to be honest. They gave me that. Now I look back and I'm like, I can't even do the math, however many years ago that was, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't pay attention to that, to be honest. But how I lived those years differently is I ate much healthier. I was very focused on how I was feeling. I was constantly in search of the things that would help me on this journey. So that was everything from biofeedback readings, like any natural alternative path that I could find. Trust me, if it's out there, I've probably done it. And then there was also the spiritual side of it, which was really delving deep into this, the drivers for it, you know, past life regressions. And, you know, where is this coming from? Is there a spiritual component to this? Which I absolutely believe that there fundamentally was. So there's a lot of those 7 years, but all years, including now, it's very much about staying in tune with my body, staying in tune with who I am spiritually, and just really honoring that and constantly growing and becoming healing through that process of discovering who I am on a daily basis.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Trish, this diagnosis actually opened doors for you. It demarcated new beginnings for you that led you into becoming the person that you are now. Tell us about that.
100%.
So how did you discover to become a, you know, energy integration coach? It's the first time I've actually heard about such. So I'm quite curious on what exactly do you do? How does everything go?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I think I might be the only energy integration coach out there. Although I did meet a woman last week who is an energy alignment coach, and I was like, "Whoa, awesome. We're out there, right?"
Almost there. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So my target market is really corporate leaders. Although, you know, I also do this work with individuals. Although it looks very different, right? So when we talk about an energy integration coach, what I'm doing is I'm teaching people how to use energy as a capability, right? So but it's a two-way capability. So in the download, it's your intuition, right? It's really that sixth sense and developing the ability to read and interpret energetic information. That's really what our intuition is doing. On the other side of that coin is the ability to create traction and momentum within your team by creating positive energy, right? So you can push positive energy out and create positive energy in how you interact with your team members as a leader in order to create massive momentum within the team. So that's what I do. So the integration part is about, you know, this isn't about sitting in a classroom and, you know, listening to Trish go on about something for like 3 hours and then leave the classroom and go, wow, that was kind of cool. And then, you know, this is about learning small tools on an ongoing basis that you then integrate. So you start applying these tools with your team immediately the very next day or even that day. And then you see, and this, you know, because for this, they believe there's nothing tangible until they see the results. So when you start using these tools, you start to immediately see how that's shifting, how other people are reacting to you as a leader, and how they're becoming more safe within the team, and how they're changing how they show up within the team. So you can see the real world results, even though they would say that intuition is a bit intangible. What I do with that integration piece is really help them to see, okay, apply this one tool and then see the real world results that you get. And it happens almost immediately. So they get validation, and then it reinforces, and then it really helps them to understand how to hone that capability.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
How did you actually stumble upon that? Did you use energy in your own healing process?
Yeah, not only that, I've been using it in the corporate world for 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know it at the time. You know, I've been acquiring energy tools since I was a kid, to be honest. So I've been doing this for a very, very long time. I've always searched them out, used them, all that other kind of stuff. However, when I got into corporate, I started to use it in a very different way, but I wasn't conscious of what I was doing. And over time, I would start to realize what I was doing and start to use it more consciously and then really see the results. So for example, my leadership philosophy is very simple. It's a quote by Dennis Waitley that says, "True power comes from empowering others." So by using energy and creating positive energy and reading the energy of the team to see, are they on, you know, are they all okay? Are they all rowing in the same direction? Do we have friction going on? Because I can read the energy of the team, I can go in and kind of hone in on specific situations and address those right out of the gate. In terms of healing myself, same kind of capability, where energy was a powerful tool that I used throughout my healing process, where when something isn't feeling right in my body, really trying to go in and energetically work with what that is. And I've used many, many practitioners as well. It's certainly not like I did this alone. I've worked with many beautiful practitioners over the years to help me on this journey for sure.
I am quite curious right now because, you know, sometimes you meet people and they don't exactly have that, you know, that energy that you have or the aura that, you know, that's pleasant. And then you begin to wonder why you suddenly feel like, I don't want to have to do anything with this person. Where is that coming from? I don't think it has been discussed before. You just assume that someone is negative and that's it. So
yeah,
where is it coming from?
You know what? I love that you asked that question. And there's many, many answers to it. It's not like there would be a single answer to that question, because it could be many things, right? So on the one hand, there could be, as a general proposition, I find that narcissists and people of that nature fall into that category, right? Where you're not quite sure, you can't quite put your finger on it, but there's just something that you just feel like you can't really trust them. There would be other situations where when people are out of alignment with who they are, you know, so they show up and they wear the mask, or they're in the keeping up with the Joneses, or, you know, they've kind of lost their way in terms of who they are. Oftentimes what you'll find is that lack of alignment there's an inherent mistrust that happens out of the gate, which is not necessarily the same as, ooh, I don't want to be with that person, but you just don't trust them and you don't know why. So this is one of those pieces that I do around the energy integration coaching with leaders, is to help them to understand, guess what? You can't fake this stuff, right? Like you can't sit there in your head and think, wow, this guy like totally isn't getting it, and say to him, wow, you're doing a fantastic job. Right? Mm. Because they're actually reacting to what you're thinking, what you're putting out energetically, not to the words you're saying. So that lack of alignment creates a lot of issues in teams, because people are not psychologically safe, because in truth, they're not energetically safe. So what's going on energetically with what the leader's putting out is not aligned with what that leader is saying. And so that trust isn't there, and the psychological safety isn't there.
I love the fact that you mentioned alignment, because that is what we all aspire for to have in our lives. Actually, this is the first time I've ever heard of energy integration. How is it changing the landscape that we have right now in the corporate setting and, you know, in our everyday lives?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a slog. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that I'm taking over the world yet. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it, but the thing is that my initial foray is to work with leaders who are open, right? Leaders who are ready for this. And that what that leader looks like is the leader who authentically and genuinely cares more about their team than they do about their ego, right? So when they're in that space, they're open to doing whatever it is that they need to do, and they're open to any tool that's available to them that is going to help them to create that high performance team. And that's the other really interesting part of this, is that, you know, a lot of leaders consider wellness, employee wellness, to be the domain of HR, right? They don't think mm-hmm. they have any role in this at all. And the reality is that they absolutely own 100% responsibility for creating that environment, building that team culture. You know, when they're doing this work and they're moving into that space, as I said, you can't fake it. They're doing the internal work that they need to do to come into alignment, so that their energy and their and what, you know, how they're showing up is aligned, and they can build that trust. It's slow going out of the gate. You got some people that don't even believe in intuition. There's all kinds of science that backs that up. So I'm not worried about that piece. I'm not looking for the leader who I have to convince, right? I'm not here to convince anybody that this is true. What I am here to do is for those people, because many, many people in business do operate from their gut, but they do it instinctively instead of consciously, right? So we kind of take that into the conscious space, where instead of just reacting to a gut instinct every once in a while, we're now actually taking hold of that skill set and leveraging it like a well-honed blade, right? Like I literally use my intuition 90% of my day to determine everything from which emails I'm going to look at today, to which projects I'm looking at, to who I need to talk to on my team today. Like I use it all the time. I know who's on side in a room. Like if I'm in a meeting, who's on side, you know, who's a saboteur, who's got an agenda that isn't aligned with mine. I can read all of that. And that's a powerful tool in the business world.
I can totally relate to that. And when you mentioned saboteur, it's like, oh my God, that's been mentioned in one of my advanced coaching classes. So I can definitely relate. Right now, Trish, looking back, how do you view the 7 years that was initially given to you and the space that you're in right now?
You know what? It truly was a gift. It truly was a gift. You know, it was the wake up call. It was even as simple as, I don't work weekends, like ever. Right? Like just fundamental decisions that I made for myself that honored my body, my relationships, you know, my family. And so this, you know, killing it thing. And that's why I love the high performance coaching that I do now, because it's like, it's not about 20 hours a day. It's about creating flow and leveraging everybody's like talents in a way where you can work smarter, not harder, right? And everyone can work smarter, not harder. And yet your results show in the, you know, this is very measurable. You can set the KPIs and you can just watch your team hit them and exceed them every time once you get to this space. So it truly was a gift. There's no two ways around that. It's not like one I'd recommend. that anybody go up and sign up for. But if we do walk that path, there's so much that you understand about yourself. And honestly, even the letting go of my fear of death, being through this COVID thing, it means that it is what it is. Like, if that's what happens, and then it is what it is. Like, you know, I'm past that fear. So I don't live in fear of this thing that's happening right now, you know, because I've moved past that. So there's so many ways, and in so many small, subtle nuances that gift comes through today and continue, you know. And of course I continue to be committed to growing as a person and healing, you know, continuing to heal in a multitude of different ways. You know, I don't have the symptoms of that condition anymore, but we still have things that show up in our lives, right? So we have to continue to learn how to move through those.
I couldn't agree more. How many years has it been since that death sentence of yours?
Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me do the math. That was like 98. I was diagnosed in 98, so whatever that is, right?
Oh, yeah. So you've gone a long way since then. And I'm really excited to know what's next for you, Trish.
You know what? I'm just so committed. Like, I am just so excited about doing this energy integration coach. I honestly had never, ever had an intention of working with corporate leaders, even though I've always been. That was never actually going to be my target market. That was as much a surprise to me as anything. Like, honestly, I cannot even, I'm like, really? You know, like, I just said to Spirit, how can I be in service? And that's what showed up. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So that was never my intent, but here I am. So, but you know, my mission is to heal our corporate work environments one leader at a time. Right? Because just think of the ripple effect. There are people that show up to work every day doing the job they love in a place they hate. I know people that cry before they have to go to work. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's okay. So, you know, I do think that as leaders, I know that's uncomfortable to hear. And we have the ability to change that. And all we have to do is choose to want the best for our team. And when that happens, that's when the magic happens. And seeing that happen for me, mm-hmm. it, like, that's the gift, right? That's the gift.
Let's help them make that choice of getting you, girl. So give me a very inspiring result that you have gotten for yourself when you were coaching these leaders with energy integration.
The gift for me is when I see a leader step into their 10. Right? Mm-hmm. To just be the best. And that doesn't mean they're the best leader on the planet. It means they're operating at their 10, that they have the gift of humility. They honestly show up for their team. Like, to me, servant leadership is about caring more about other success than your own. Mm-hmm. And when I see a leader show up that way, and the thing is that some leaders, you know, would look at that and go, oh, well, you know, but how am I going to get credit for that? Right? Like, you know, and that's where they operate from. And it's like, you don't understand.
Exactly.
When you empower your team and they are operating at their 10, right? The results speak for themselves. And where do you think your leadership is looking and going, wow, how come Trish's team is always like hitting the mark, right? Like, you know, they don't see this piece of it, right? They're always looking for the verbal validation. And that's not where this is at. It's a team validation, because it's the team that does the work. The leader should mm-hmm. be facilitating, you know, getting that work done. So to mm-hmm. me, the big inspiring piece is when you see the shift, right? That shift that happens and they truly step into that 10 and they understand that is a gift. The ability to affect other people's lives as a leader, that's the gift. And when they step into that space, honestly, I get chills.
Honey, that's one of the best gifts, you know, they can have in the corporate setting, simply because when everyone is in alignment with their lives and their energy, so to speak, you know, they perform at 101%. And that delivers the results. Okay. So I am sure at this point in time, our listeners would love to get in touch with you. Where can they reach you?
At trishbishop.com.
Okay. Yep.
Just reach out to me. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. But if you just go to trishbishop.com, all the links are there. Everything, all the information is there. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you. I've got some free ebooks on there if people are interested in learning about the benefits of high performance teams, and you know, there's lots of great tools available. So definitely reach out. I'd love to talk to them.
Before we go, Trish, is there anything that you would like to tell our listeners right now who may be in that space wherein, you know, they consider themselves to have those death sentences or things that have suddenly put them into a stop. What can you tell them?
I think that what I would say is that they do have a choice, right? So, and even if that choice means that it does end up being a death sentence, how they live the remainder of their whatever time they have left is again a choice. So the hardest thing that I think that people find is that they don't see the choice, right? So what I would say is, and you know, to your point, find a coach. And I know that sounds ridiculous, you know, in terms of, well, what does that mean in, around a life sentence? But what it means is they're often the ones that can ask the powerful questions that can help you to see the choice, right? They'll help you to see the choice. You can then choose. The hard part is not always the choice. It's even seeing what the choice is. So that's what I would recommend is like I definitely had wonderful coaches and healing practitioners I worked with during that entire time. And many of the most powerful transformational shifts that I had through that healing journey were as a result of working with a coach or a practitioner. So I would say reach out and find somebody that you resonate with and do the work and be willing to sit in the discomfort of doing the work.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. In my words, allow yourself to die with your problems and then, you know, resurrect again thereafter when you realize what really is your purpose beyond that death sentence of yours. Thank you so much, Trish, for joining me today. You have such an amazing energy. I totally hope that you can see her right now. And thank you for breathing that fresh air of, you know, hope to all of our listeners right now.
Oh, it's been such a gift spending time with you, Mike. Love your energy too. And I'm super excited for all the amazing things you have coming your way.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And there you have it, guys. You have Trish Bishop, an energy integration coach for corporate leaders who's making waves right now and up to conquer the world anytime soon with this new concept called energy integration. So guys, if you like this episode, kindly like and subscribe to my podcast and then follow me on my social media pages. Again, before we go, wherever you are right now, know that it's okay simply because you're on your way to becoming your own hashtag best me ever. My name is Coach Mike Celis. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate, powered by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab. Kangaroo Fern is Australia's independent video and podcast management agency with the mission to help individuals and entrepreneurs to start their own podcast and harness the power of podcasting. Book now via www.kangaroofern.com. We are Independent Podcast Network. We are Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate. Would you like to hear your brand while supporting quality podcasts? Contact us now at advertise@guerrillapodcastsyndicate.com. Are you ready to finally start your own podcast? Maybe you already have one, but need a podcast manager to help you level up. We're here for either. Book a call at www.kangaroofern.com. www.kangaroofern.com.